Welcome to Sisterhood, having conversations that matter with me, Lorianne Sheldrick, an incredible woman who support, encourage, and empower other women. While you are here, you will be supported. You will empower yourself so that you can be supportive to others and begin to fully embrace that we cannot be empowered women if we do not support those who are being disempowered. That is the magic that lies within sisterhood, and it only works if we do it together. The purpose of sisterhood is to create deep and meaningful connections with other women, have conversations that matter, because women need other women, and together we are going to be, do, and have all that we desire. It starts right here, right now, with me, my special guest, and with you. Let's begin. Welcome to the magic of sisterhood. Hello, welcome back to the Sisterhood Podcast. Thank you for being here. I say that every single time. I mean it every single time. I'm so grateful that you are here. I'm so grateful that you are listening. I am so grateful that you are here for these meaningful conversations. This is how we're connecting. We're connecting through meaningful conversations. We're supporting one another through meaningful conversations. Whether you're listening to this and you're feeling supported, whether you're listening to this and you're sharing it to support someone else, like, that is what I wanted out of these conversations, connecting through meaningful conversations, letting each other know that we're not alone. We're not alone. Today, I'm going to create like a part two of episode 48. Episode 48 has just, I love the feedback that I'm getting from this episode. I love being able to continue on with the conversation, the questions that I've been getting, the comments that I've been getting, all thought-provoking, all just absolutely wonderful. Episode 48 was titled, "Are You Constantly Finding Things to Be Angry About?" I was inspired by that question from a podcast that I was listening to with Africa Brooke. And I wanted to talk about my experience with that question, what that question made me see within myself. And it's a conversation about the impact that anger can have on us. A conversation about the impact that anger can have on us. I think this is such an important conversation. So many people are angry, right? So many people are angry. So I was thinking about where I wanted to take this conversation and why I want to continue on this conversation. First of all, I want to continue on this conversation because I think it's important when we're having meaningful conversations to just keep having it, to keep sharing the things that are coming up for us, to take it deeper and deeper and deeper until we're like, oh yeah, like that's it, right? Like that's it. And so I'm not going to move on until I feel like I've explored all paths with this. And so I'm going to continue on with the conversation of why are we so angry and what can we do about it. I was thinking about where I wanted to take this next part of the conversation. And one thing that I really thought would be so wonderful to share is an exercise that I share in three of my digital workshops. That's how much I turn to this practice. And it is a practice. It's not something that you're ever going to get perfect because it is a practice. And it's something that I turn to often because it works. And it works. And because it works its way into most of my workshops and most of my life because it is so interchangeable to the experiences that I'm in. So it's really practical. It's also really practical. And that's something that I love about this practice. So I'm going to take you through a practice today to help you if you're feeling angry, to help you to feel your anger, because I think we all know anger pretty well. We can feel it in our bodies before we even react, right? Like physically, you could feel it before words even come out of your mouth, thoughts even come into your head. Like you can feel it physically. And the first thing that I want you to know, which is really, really important, is that there's nothing wrong with getting angry. I mean, like, hi, welcome to being a human being. Of course, you're going to get angry. You're going to get angry. But the question that I always ask my clients and myself is, do you want to act on it? And that's what we're going to explore here today in this conversation. So this is going to be like sort of a part two to episode 48, but more solution-based. So definitely still continuing on with the conversation, but more of how can I include a practice into this? So we're taking it deeper and we're adding a practice. And sometimes we're not ready for the practice. You know, when I shared episode 48, I wasn't ready to share a practice because I wanted to go deep into the conversation about what I was seeing and what I was experiencing. And then now today, it's like, oh, let's explore this practice because this has been really beneficial to you. We're not always ready for the practice. And I wasn't ready for the practice. I wasn't ready to share the practice. So I'll start with something really small, because I thought, let's use an example that so many of us can relate to really drive this home. So what I want you to do is I want you to imagine that you're in your car, you're driving, it's just a regular old day, you're just minding your own business, listening to the Sisterhood podcast, listening to your favorite tunes, and all of a sudden, someone cuts you off. Someone cuts you off and you are now like livid. You are pissed off. First of all, I think you're allowed to get angry. I hate it when I get cut off. It's scary to get cut off. And I know from my own experience and watching others when I'm in the passenger seat and they get cut off, it creates an intense emotional response. So your initial response to getting cut off, totally normal. Totally normal. Why? Because fear is such a massive anger motivator. Like, no pun intended, but fear is a anger driver. It drives anger. So you get cut off, you're angry. That was your initial response. You're angry. Okay, you can see yourself. You can feel it. It may have just happened this morning. Now I want you to imagine that after your first initial moment of fear, you begin to experience an emotional response and now feel anger in all the emotions, including that physical response to being angry that you were just cut off. Your blood is boiling. Your hands are clammy. Your heart is racing. You feel hot. I sweat. When I get angry, I sweat. And in that moment, there's just like no time to think. So you instantly react, and in that reaction, you aggressively honk your horn, you speed up driving faster so that you can catch up, so you can give them the finger, and then a few of your favorite choice curse words, all the things that like anger, you know, spills over when we're reacting. So now you're really raging. How fucking dare they, right? Like, how dare they? You just can't let it go. And then you begin to think of all the things that could have happened had you not reacted in time to them cutting you off, right? Because you're actually safe. They cut you off, you swerved, you had the little fear response, but nothing happened. You're actually safe in that moment. But your body doesn't know that yet because you're still in that like reaction phase. And now your mind is like, what could have happened? And you've entered into, you know, the what if zone. That fear is ignited. And even though it didn't happen, this is like fuel being added to an already raging fire of anger, right? So you are experiencing the stress response of anger about external stressors, which may not feel external, but you're thinking of them as external, which is all of those what ifs that have not even occurred. What if that had occurred? What if they had sideswiped me? What if I had like been in a rollover? Like all of these things, you're kind of like fearing the worst case scenarios. And even though it hasn't occurred, what's really interesting here about this is that your body doesn't know it because you haven't told your body yet that it actually hasn't happened. Your body only knows that you're in fight mode because that's the state that you're in. Your body only knows that something is wrong and it's doing what it needs to do to keep you safe, and it's pumping adrenaline through you, giving you the energy that you need to fight. It doesn't know that you're safe because you haven't gotten yourself to that state yet that you have told yourself and feel safe, because you're in all of these what ifs and you're so anger, and the anger is building, and then 62 kilometers later, it's really gained momentum. Obviously, I'm exaggerating with being cut off, but just focus on anything that angers you that gains momentum. If this isn't resonating with you and you're like, I don't get angry when people cut me off, I'm just using this as an example because so many of us can relate to it. So it's gained momentum. Now, while you're imagining all of this going on, I want you to take that even further and think about what would happen if that anger doesn't leave you. 62 kilometers later, the anger is still with you. You're taking it with you all day, and you begin to react and act and respond and behave and make decisions from that emotional state of anger. Whew, right? Like, that would be a lot of reactions, actions, responses, behaviors, and decisions that maybe we wouldn't make if we weren't in that emotional state of anger. So what I want you to think about in this what if scenario is, would the reaction, action, response, behavior, or decision serve or support you or the people around you? And the way that I phrase it in most of my workshops is, would it be the emotional compass that you would want to follow? Usually it's not. Usually the answer is no, because when we're in that reactive state, we're not worrying about or caring about or thinking about the collateral damage of our reactions and what we're saying and how we're responding and how we're behaving. We're just like in the anger, especially if it's brought on by fear, and we're just like, I have to protect myself, and this is the only way I know how to respond. So again, so important to note here, nothing is wrong with being angry. Nothing is wrong with being angry. But how often are you left feeling worse for what you did or said in an angry state? So nothing is wrong with being angry. That is true. And what's also true is, feeling the anger doesn't mean you have to act on the anger. And that is what we're learning to do here. This is really the most important piece. Feeling the anger doesn't mean you have to act on the anger. It's so important to note that, because our decisions are made from our emotions. Our decisions are made from how we feel, how we think it will make us feel, or how we want to feel. Your emotions are your compass. It's an emotional compass. They're guiding you all the time, all day. They are definitely your truest guide, but they can also really get you into deep water when you don't have a handle on them. And we know this. Like, I can think of so many times when I've been in hot water because of my emotional response to something, because I didn't take a beat. And I'm sure you can too. I mean, we're all human beings. None of us are perfect, right? And of course, we're not always going to respond the way we wished we had responded. So please, no matter what you take from this, just please don't try to be Miss Perfect. Don't try to use this practice to, in a way that you're like, I have to be like perfect at this and do this perfectly. Don't go down a self-judgment and shame hole if you lose your cool and act upon your anger. Or if you have to say, I'm so sorry for what I said when I was angry. Listen, you're a human being. I've been there. I was probably there last week. I can't even count how many times I've had to say, I'm so sorry for what I said when I was angry. This is a practice. It's a lifetime practice. And we're never going to do it perfectly, because It all depends on the experience that we're in. Sometimes we have time to really take a beat before we react. Sometimes we don't, and it's so reactionary and it just comes out of us. We just practice. Last month, when I took my little hiatus, I was so angry about what felt like everything. It really did feel like I was angry about everything, and it was impacting my ability to connect with my work and my clients. And, you know, I was feeling so many other feels as well, but I was just like, God, this is, I cannot show up like this. I literally didn't even have the mental and emotional bandwidth to show up. So even if I wanted to just push through, I couldn't. So that's why I had to take that hiatus. And I had to do that for many reasons, but one of them was because everything inside of me wanted to act out that anger that I was feeling. I wanted to act out that anger that I was feeling. And I knew it wasn't what I needed. I knew it wouldn't support me. I knew it wouldn't help me. And I knew it wasn't what my community needed or my clients needed. And because I was feeling so many other feels, I made the decision not to act out in that angry state that I was feeling or that reactionary state and really take care of my inner world. I needed to start to make decisions from how I wanted to feel, not from how I was feeling. And a big part of that was taking care of my inner world, taking a break. I was so overwhelmed, I needed a break. And I wanted my joy back. I had felt like I lost my joy. I wanted my optimism back. I felt like I lost my optimism. I wanted my faith back. I felt like I lost my faith, like they were all in hiding. So I turned to what I knew, taking a step back, exploring my feelings, allowing myself to feel my feelings and not bypassing them. And I started by just asking myself some questions, going through some deep reflection, taking a self-assessment, like, why am I so angry? Is this really the reaction I want to have? If I say this or write this or share this, will I regret it later? And I just kept asking myself some of those questions, like the way you're feeling right now, all the feels you're feeling right now, like, is this how you want to show up externally? Or can you just take a step back and just do some inner work, which is what I did. And in that inner work, I asked myself a lot of those questions and really got to the root of why I was so angry and why I was feeling overwhelmed and why I wasn't feeling optimistic and why my faith felt like it was like hiding out in the background. And I asked myself those questions, and I also started to ask myself questions about what I would do if I did have my joy back, if I did have my optimism back, if I did have my faith back all front and center, like leading the show like they used to be. What would I do if I did feel this way? What would I say? What would I write? What would I share? How would I show up? What decisions would she make? What actions would she take, that person who felt the joy and optimism and faith, even inside of the overwhelm and sadness and anger of what was going on in the world? How would this woman act? How would this woman react and respond? How would she show up for herself and for others? So it wasn't like I was trying to bypass my feelings. I was trying to feel it and still think about what I would do and how I would show up if I felt the way that I wanted to feel, even though I wasn't feeling that way yet. And then for an entire month, I just kept coming up with it. Just keep taking a break. Keep taking a break. Keep stepping away from contagiously positive. Step away from the news. Keep stepping away from social media. And I just kept listening to that, and I just took care of my own emotional well-being and my own mental well-being. And what I started to notice, and I talk about this in episode 46 or 47, I believe. 46, episode 46, making what you did and who you are today enough. I talk about this, about I just took care of the things that needed to be taken care of, like the things that had to get done. And that made me feel so accomplished, and it made me feel reignited again. It made me feel connected again to the most simplistic things that I was taking for granted. Those simplistic things that if they were taken away would be the things that like I would really miss, and I was taking them for granted. And I could feel that over time, that anger that I was feeling, that sadness that I was feeling, that overwhelm that I was feeling was turning to empathy, empathy for myself, empathy for the people that I love, and empathy for the people in the world who were suffering. And I talk about that in episode 46 and in episode 48, if you want to go and really get more about that story, because this is a continuation of those two episodes. So it's like, by the time you listen to those and this one, it's like 3 hours worth of just what that experience has been like. And while that empathy started to take over, my faith started to come back and my optimism started to come back and my desire to want to serve again came back, because that went away as well. And I started to get some answers to some of those questions that I was asking myself. And some of those answers were having these conversations. Have these conversations. Share your experience. I couldn't have shared the experience while I was deep in it, though. I think that's really, really important to note here. I don't believe that even in our darkest times, we should be accepted to show up online and bare our souls when we are in it and haven't processed it. It doesn't serve me. It typically won't serve the other person on the other end. It might just trigger you. It might reignite what I'm feeling. I don't believe that I need to show up or am expected to show up online and bare my souls when I'm in it. I'm not a car wreck, right? I'm not a car wreck that like, oh my God, look at that car wreck. Look it over there. That's not what I wanted. It's okay to step away until you're ready to share what you are experiencing or what you have experienced when you're ready. And it's also okay that it be never as well if you don't want to. It's just, I want to. So both are okay. So making decisions from how you want to feel instead of from the place that you don't want to feel or are feeling, but are also being incredibly kind to yourself. You're also giving yourself a lot of grace. You're taking one step at a time, knowing that it's okay to feel whatever it is that you're feeling. It gives you an emotional compass to follow that is supportive, mentally supportive, emotionally supportive, physically supportive. It just supports you because you're making your decisions, and that includes your actions and your responses and your behavior from how you would want to feel. And what would I do? How would I act if I felt that way? What would I do if I felt that way? While also allowing yourself to feel what you are feeling, you're just not acting upon it. And I think that's the difference. So often we bypass it and don't feel it at all. This is still feeling it. You're just not acting upon it externally. So you have this beautiful emotional compass to follow. And what this does is it prevents you from taking up permanent residence in a state of anger or whatever it is that you're feeling. But today we're talking about anger. Why are you so angry? This will help. This sounds so simplistic, but it isn't. Right? It isn't. It's actually not simplistic when you're feeling the big feels. This is really hard to go in and ask yourself these questions and to not react and not act and not behave based on your current emotional state. It's hard to do that sometimes because anger is so powerful. Anger is so strong. And for me, that anger and that grief and that frustration and that overwhelm, it was so powerful that it took over my joy and my faith and my optimism. But if I'm being honest, and I'm committed to being fully transparent and honest here, I ignored the signs for a long time. I was ignoring the signs for a month that was happening, slowly happening. And I let it compound for months. I bypassed it for months because I was in survival mode. I have to be the problem solver for everyone else. And I was ignoring that I was feeling overwhelmed. So honestly, I teach this and I still need to remind myself of this. We all do. It's better to feel your feelings right away and not bypass them. Because the more we bypass them, the more they compound. The more we let them go months and months and months, they end up gaining a life of their own and they grow. And then it becomes so much harder to dig up because they've taken root. They're so deeply rooted. So the next time something is about to set you off and you start to feel your body shift, put on the brakes and ask yourself some questions. Take a moment and think about why you're angry. Why am I so angry right now? Is my anger warranted? And even if it is warranted, even if I have every right to be angry right now, will it help the situation to react the way I was just about to react? Will it help the situation to behave in the way I was just about to behave? And can I react or behave in a different way to get a more positive outcome that won't ignite someone else's defenses or compound this feeling even more? Another question you can ask yourself is, how do I want to react to this situation? How do I want to respond to this situation? How do I want to behave in this situation? Who do I want to be in this situation? Even though I'm feeling angry, even though I'm feeling overwhelmed, even though I'm feeling frustrated. And something that I find really helpful is asking myself, will my words hurt the other person, leaving me to feel guilty later? Will I feel guilty about this later? That's such a helpful question for me. And I just took a deep breath. So that's another reminder. Breathe. Breathe. Calm your nervous system. Turn down those fighting alarm bells. When it feels so intense, before you react, practice physically and mentally releasing it. A good way to do that is breathe. Like when I feel my nervous system, when I feel those alarm bells like ringing, what I do to physically shift my nervous system, one of the things is I take deep, long breaths. Like in each exhalation, it's like I'm imagining myself that I'm releasing the anger that's trying to bubble up. And I do that with my breath. And I just like try to breathe in and out as deeply as I can. Like it almost hurts. I feel it physically. And sometimes physically, it's just, I just get out on my own by myself in nature and I go for a walk. Like that's like a big one for me too. And I do these deep breaths while I'm on my walk, like just aggressively breathing. We realize so often how much we hold our breath in so many situations, but when I'm angry, I hold my breath a lot. I'm sure you're relating. And then mentally, I talk to myself. I talk to myself all the time. And I used to be uncomfortable sharing this, like feeling like, oh my God, people are going to think I'm so weird. But listen, here's what I've concluded. If we can talk ourselves into that rage frenzy, into that anger, into all those what ifs, we can talk ourselves out of it. So things that I'll say, and it just varies depending on the experience that I'm in, but some things might be like, I'm not going to let this control me. Or this is not how I want to react. This is not how I want to behave. This is not who I want to be. This is not how I want to show up. Or sometimes I'll say things like, it's okay that you're angry right now, but you don't want to add fuel to that already raging, angry fire. You're going to get through this, right? You can feel this without acting on it, or you're going to regret saying that. So just give yourself time to process it. And I just keep talking to myself and talking through it, talking through my anger, why I'm angry. And I have to say, even though I was feeling so much anger about all the things happening in the world, and I'm still feeling a lot of that, I am really proud of myself for not having any outburst that I would regret later, especially towards my husband, who usually takes the brunt of that because, you know, I spend the majority of my time with him. So this was really huge for me because that wasn't my old pattern. I was always having to say, I'm so sorry for what I said when I was angry. And that alone is frustrating and compounds my anger. And then I end up in a shame spiral. Please remember there are going to be days you get angry and lose your temper, right? Like, just push the reset button and start again. This is not about being perfect. When your anger is warranted, or you just get angry for whatever, no reason sometimes, and you do have an outburst that you want to apologize for, simply say, I'm so sorry for how I reacted. I promise I will try harder not to take this out on you next time. That's it. The end. No excuses, no finger pointing, no shame, no blaming, just an honest and direct apology. I was an asshole. I'm sorry. That's like the best apology someone can receive. I was an asshole. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. That's it. The end. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that in my emotional state, I hurt you. I just did not want to do that. I'm so sorry. Let them know that it's like an honest and true apology. Another deep breath. I wanted to talk about anger in this way today because I think it's so important to have coping tools to deal with this totally normal emotion in a supportive way instead of allowing it to turn into rage, where we've now taken up permanent residence in it and there's collateral damage all over the place. We just leave collateral damage every step we take. So I think it's so important to have coping tools and to have practices, simplistic practices that we can turn to in the moment and also give ourselves so much friggin' grace because there's a lot going on in the world that is frustrating and that will cause us to be angry, and there's a lot of angry people in the world that ignite our anger. Actually, that's a really good thing to talk about. I wasn't going to talk about this today. I was going to share it in another episode, but let's actually talk about this now because I have it on a note here to bring it up if I felt compelled to share to do so. And that's, what do you do when someone is acting really unkind or angry or being very hateful towards you? Which this was one of the things I talked about in episode 48. This is happening a lot. I have a different opinion, I have a different belief, I have a different thought, I have a different idea, whatever it might be, and I just have collective rage being thrown at me because I have this. Like, this is what I see online all the time. So I think this is really important. Let's just do a little bit of reflection on this. And again, this is such a deep topic that we'll just kind of like baby step our way through this because there's so many places that we can go with this. So let's just like kind of baby step our way into this conversation and then we'll continue to expand on it more as we go through these conversations with sisterhood. So when this happens, of course, it's very normal for you to want to react when you're feeling attacked, right? Like when we're attacked and those alarm bells start to go off, like all we hear or all our nervous system hears is defense is up, you're in danger, bully alert. Like we've got a bully alert, like full on bully alert. And in those moments, okay, first a few things. You don't want to allow anyone to be unkind to you or mistreat you, right? You don't want to condone the behavior by giving into it just to avoid conflict, especially when it keeps happening. If it happens once, you may just want to let it go. But if it's a pattern, maybe it's time to face it. We don't want to condone behavior. We also don't want to take up permanent residence in the anger that they ignited in you. But it is okay to let the anger in because it can be useful to stand up for yourself and what you value. But it's learning how to do that and then shut the anger valve off. And that's the practice. And in that practice, we're practicing not responding to their anger with more anger, because I think we've all learned that it really keeps us stuck in a battle and where everyone's defenses are up, which is often what happens when we match their behavior. The person who was angry, who threw their anger at you, you're now throwing it at them, and it's just like a back and forth, and no one wins. Everyone loses in that situation usually. So what I'll do here, I'll use an example of someone who was bullying me in my business quite a few months ago. This wasn't recent, so there's no like emotional charge to it. They were angry with me for not giving them something that they wanted in the way they wanted. And in that anger, they were trying to bully me into doing what they wanted. How often does this happen, right? We see this all the time. And I will note here, this is so important to note here, all of this was happening via email, not in person. And I thought that was so important to note here because it would have been so much harder to take pause in that moment if I were in person, and I may not have reacted the way that I reacted. Again, I'm a human being. We're human. So because we were communicating via email, I was writing out a pretty detailed email as to why I was right and justified in being mad and how bullying was not the way to get what they wanted from me. And I was really angry, and you could hear it in the way that I was responding, like just the words that I was using. And I read it back and I caught myself and I was like, wow. And I deleted it. I deleted it because the email wasn't about fixing the situation. The email would have compounded the situation, and the email wouldn't have closed it down. I would have been now caught in a battle. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to just like be direct, have it end, bye-bye. So the email as I originally wrote it was me fighting to be right. It was unkind. It wasn't respectful. It didn't actually say what I wanted, didn't set any boundaries, nothing, right? It just went against everything that I actually wanted to explain and have ended. So when I sat back and I took that pause and I thought about how I could respond, I thought, okay, how can I respond in a way that one, minimized my anger, and that both of us could be heard, and not just add fuel to the fire and get into a battle match back and forth with email, because I didn't want that to happen. I wanted them to know that if I didn't respond back to their email next, I didn't need to, because it was clear cut, done, boom. So the Coles note of the email is that I just respectfully but firmly said that I didn't accept their bullying. And unfortunately, our working relationship was going to have to come to an end immediately as of now, because I value respect even if we disagree, and I was okay if we couldn't agree on this situation, and that we don't need to get defensive when we do, but our relationship's done. I wish you the best, but these are my boundaries. Like, that was the Coles notes. Wish I had it in front of me. It was so well written, way better written than as I'm speaking it. But the Coles notes of it and the whole point of it, and at the end of it, what it did was it instantly put the fire out in me. It didn't put the fire out in them. I'll also note that here, because I don't want you to think that just because you're not angry, they're just gonna like take off their gloves. No, it didn't. It doesn't always happen. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. That doesn't matter. All that matters is you, not them. You, your reaction, your behavior, your response, how you wanna show up, not them. So they still had their fighting gloves on and they were ready to battle it out. But I no longer needed to battle because I set a clear boundary. Like, this is what's happening. Boom. This is done. And I felt better, which is what I really wanted anyway. I wanted to feel better. And I felt better because even though they were still angry about not getting their way, I was respectful, even though everything inside of me was fighting against being respectful. And I wasn't in a state of my emotions are up, anger is fueled, and I'm going to fight till death to prove that I'm right and they are wrong. And let me show you my hot-blooded Italian rage temper. I wasn't in that mode. I was in the mode of, let's end this respectfully. Let's make this clear cut and no question about what the next steps are going to be. Our working relationship is coming to an end as of now because I don't accept bullying. That's it. That's it. And as I share this, it reminds me that it's examples like these that helps me practice responding and not reacting. My first email was a reaction based on the emotional state of anger. My second email was a response. Even though I was still feeling emotionally angry, it was a response based on what I truly value and how I wanted to show up, how I wanted to show up. And they were different. And in that response, it put out the fire in me. It wouldn't have put out the fire in me had I reacted, because they would have reacted back and we would have been back and forth, adding fuel to each other. So all that to say, if this resonates with you, by the way, wonderful. If it doesn't, take what does and leave the rest. Respectfully, just leave the rest. Take what does and respectfully leave the rest. So the next time something like this happens to you and someone's not being very kind to you, think about how you can react the next time your anger emotion, if you will, rises up because someone is being an asshole towards you. How can you express your anger so it doesn't become rage, right? Don't repress it, express it. What is a better way to react or respond that helps you work through the anger or any emotion that you're feeling instead of taking up permanent residence in the anger? How can you use your anger as a fuel to give you the confidence to respond and react and behave in a way that you really want to respond, react, and behave in, right? I'm not saying don't feel the anger. I'm saying express it in a way that you feel really good about. Something that I always say, this is so important. You cannot control your external circumstances, right? Which includes other people, but you can always control your response, even when it doesn't feel like you can. So I also think it's so important to note here about what happened to me in that situation. Something that I took note of was that it was a different perspective that helped me to shift back to a state that allowed me to respond from a different state. I tried to see it from a different perspective. And I remember asking myself, why is this person reacting to not getting their way with bullying? And why are they so angry and hateful? They have never been that way towards me before. Like, it just felt so insane to me. Like, what is happening? And I instantly heard, bullies bully because they are in pain. And I was like, okay, that just sounds like I'm condoning their behavior and I just, you know, I'm trying to get out of this conflict. But then I thought about what I knew about them and I remembered all that they were going through, which was intense and it was a lot. I remembered all the conversations we had had before this experience and all that they were going through. It doesn't excuse their behavior. It just helped me to understand. It helped me to remember that when someone uses negative, hurtful words or bullying to try to take you down or get their way, it's sometimes, not all the times, I know not all the times, but I do think this person's a good person deep down. It's not because there's anything wrong with you, of course not. It's something inside of them that makes them feel like they have to react that way, that there's no other way to get what they want. So knowing what I know about this person, it was their pain and their frustration and their overwhelm that was making them react that way. They weren't getting what they wanted and they wanted to get what they wanted. And that was the tactic they were using to try to get their way, because everything else in their life felt so out of control and this was their way of trying to control it. I don't say that to condone them. I say, or to excuse their behavior, just to help. It helped me to understand so that I can just let it go. I could just let it go. Like, I didn't do anything wrong. So we don't want to give in to the bully by matching their behavior, by putting on the fighting gloves and then joining them in the ring. Like, we don't want to do that because we don't do them or ourselves any service. We both leave with black eyes, right? Like, we both leave beaten. So what you do instead is you stay true to who you are and what you value. And that is what I did. I could have fought back. I wanted to fight. But I knew deep down, based on my values and who I wanted to be and who I am, that it was just going to become a battle that I didn't have the energy to be in. It wasn't a fight I wanted to fight. It wasn't a fight I wanted to be in. I know a seasoned bully is not one I like to engage with, because I know that a seasoned bully will not give up until you're brought to your knees. So you can stand for what you value and defend yourself without matching the hate and rage, right? Let the anger show you what matters to you. I'm not being treated in a way that I value. Let the anger show you what you value most and who you want to be and how you want to show up, and then use that as fuel to stand up for yourself in a way that you feel good about. Because when we fight hate with hate, no one wins. We end up both just bloodied and bruised. Nobody wins, because we're both going to fight right to the end vehemently to be right. Okay. Oh, I should mention this. I did later on, not right away, but I did later on receive a deep, sincere apology email from the person who was bullying me. We never spoke or worked with one another again, but it just felt like a really clean break. They were going through something really difficult, and it was just one of those direct emails. I'm so sorry. Done. And I was like, apology accepted. Wishing you the best. And speaking of wishing you the best, I think this is where I'm going to leave off for today. I'm wishing you the best day wherever you are. If you're not having a good day, I am sending you so much love. I know these are really hard times. And even if you are having a good day, I'm sending you love. I'm just sending you all love no matter what. No matter what you're experiencing right now, I'm just sending you all so much love. I know that these are challenging times. There's so much unknown. There's so much going on in the world. But what I also know, amongst all that darkness, is there's also so much light, and there's so much joy, and there's so much beauty. And we need to remember that, because that's what's going to help us to be a part of the solution, to be a light in that darkness. So hopefully over time, we don't have so much darkness in the world, because there's just so many people with so much light who just want to do good and who want to make change for everyone. And yeah, fight the good fight, right? Fight the good fight. No matter what you're experiencing right now, I'm sending you so much love. As I always like to end, please remember this. You are good enough. You have always been good enough, and you will always be good enough, period. And don't settle for anything that takes you away from feeling that way. You are good enough. Even when you have an angry outburst, even when you've had to say, I'm so sorry for what I said when I was angry, you're good enough. You're just good enough, period. You're a human being. You're a human being. You're not a robot who just, you know, we're perfectly imperfect. You're good enough. Enjoy this conversation. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. It's really powerful for me to have these meaningful conversations and just speak openly and honestly. Me also not trying to be perfect or say the perfect thing, just speak from my heart. So I really appreciate having this platform to do that. And I really appreciate if you're still listening. So I hope you enjoyed this, and I will see you back here next time. Bye.